I am of the personal opinion that creative artists are the prophets of our generation.
Welcome to Authentic.
This is the show where I give you the latest news and updates of what's going on in the world of church, and also where we discover together what are the timeless biblical principles for doing church God's way. We're always trying to keep it real, keep it relevant, and keep it biblically pure. You'll hear the latest news updates from some of today's top Christian leaders, so you can navigate through all of the twists and turns this life brings and discover your purpose, your gifts, and your calling. All right, let's do this.
Greetings, everyone. This is Jeff Saxton, and I'm very excited to have a guest, special guest on the show today. His name is Shun Lee Fong. He's an author, a writer, director, and a producer. And he just wrote a brand new book called The Saints and the Poets, which you can get on Amazon.com. And I have to say, when I first looked at the book and I read it through, I was very impressed. And I definitely got myself a copy. I'm just really excited to have Shun Lee here so we can ask him some more questions about this book, The Saints and the Poets. I think you're going to be blown away. And by the end of this podcast, really recommend that you go ahead and get the book. And but anyways, we'll talk more about that book in a little bit, but I thought I would first just welcome Shun Lee Fong to the program. Shun Lee, it's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Obviously, Shun Lee and I go back a while, and we've been friends
for
a few years. And anyways, I think I'd like to start with just getting a little background of what you're doing right now, and maybe how you got involved in what you're doing. And so without much more intro, go ahead and...
Well, I appreciate that. And again, thanks for having me here. As you mentioned, I'm an actor and a filmmaker and still do music. I've been in the entertainment industry now for about 14 years. And out in Los Angeles now, I've been in Hollywood for 13 of those years and have been... a professional creative artist for all of that time, and which is interesting how that it's been kind of a circuitous route to get there. I was a lawyer in the Midwest before I ended up in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember going through those years. I was a worship leader on the side, I guess what some people call a lay worship leader. I was doing that. I was acting on the side. I was just there. Everything about me was really loving the creative world. I come from a very creative family, all musicians and artists and poets and photographers and you name it. And so I was really missing that in my years as a lawyer, and just remember saying, God, if you want me to be a lawyer for the next 40 years, all right, I'll do it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not enjoying this, you know, and not that I was a bad lawyer. I was a good lawyer.
I think you just probably got tired of all the lawyer jokes.
Well, there are a lot of them, and I think I've heard most of them now. Every once in a while, somebody surprises me with a new one, but that's rare.
If you have one out there, go ahead and submit it to me. I may not air it, but
just so we can hear it, you know. But yeah, so about halfway through my 5-year career as a lawyer, I just remember taking a little personal retreat and just saying, God, you know, this is where my heart is over here, but you've got me in this law job, and I'll do whatever you want, but as long as you know where I'm coming from. And he was just so gracious to receive me where I was at that point. And on that personal retreat, he just said, hey, this is not the end game here. I'm actually going to be sending you out to Hollywood. You're going to be a minister of sorts there in the marketplace itself as an actor and as a writer, and you're going to be mentoring young creative artists and helping them out and helping to steer them in directions that are going to be healthy.
Wow.
And so
that must have been thrilling. I mean, at the first to hear that.
Yeah, to hear it at first was great. And then when about 2 years later, when God said, now it's time to go, that's when it gets a little scary, because all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, you mean, okay, I've got this paycheck that's coming in regularly. You know, as a lawyer, I've got the respect of my community. I've got all these things that all of a sudden I had to make a decision. Okay, am I going to obey? Mm-hmm. You know, even though my heart is just longing for the creative side of things, Am I going to take that leap? Am I going to take the risk and head out to Los Angeles like God was telling me? And, at that point, I remember God saying to me, if you, turn back now, if you decide not to go, then you are making a decision based on fear. And fear will begin to rule your life. And I mean, when you hear that from the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you're like, all right, okay, point taken. Mm-hmm. And I stood up in my office and I went to one of the partners and said, I have to go. And,
wow.
And about a month later, I was setting foot in Los Angeles for the first time.
What was that like? Like your first day or your first week in Los Angeles? I mean, that must have been a mind blower.
Oh yeah, it was. Because like I said, I had been really feeling a, kind of a heaviness from not being able to be creative. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to an organization. There was a ministry there at the time. It's no longer around. It's called Intermission. And they were having a meeting of all these Christians in Hollywood. And a lot of people think there are no Christians in Hollywood. And let me just dispel that myth. There are a lot of them. There are thousands of them. And they're all doing good work and really advancing the kingdom of God. But I remember stepping into that meeting that Intermission had, and I was standing in the back of the room, and there was some guy, and I don't even remember who it was, who was standing up in front talking about what it meant to be in Hollywood. Hmm. And I remember the thought that crossed my mind was, I am home. This is where I belong.
Wow.
And that feeling, and I think a lot of creative people feel that, this sense of, There's a home out there for me as a creative person, and I need to find it. And that may or may not be LA. It could be someplace else. It could be right where they are right now. But I think it's really incumbent upon the creative artist to find out where home is so that they can begin to express themselves as a creative person with freedom. You know, and too many creative artists don't take that leap.
It's kind of amazing, you know, you look at, you started in the church. Did you feel a little bit squandered or misunderstood in the church creatively, or, you know, or is there just, you kind of decided you wanted to kind of expand into more of the public, you know, in Hollywood itself?
Well, I think that there are very many well-meaning people in the church who love creative people, but don't always know what to do with them. because, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. Creative people are weird. I mean, we're strange, and that's okay. God created us that way. And actually, I am of the personal opinion that creative artists are the prophets of our generation. And I know that's pretty deep to say something like that. But if you don't know what to do with the prophets in your church, then they're going to sit off to the side and they'll never exercise those giftings that God has given them, whether they're a musician, a worship leader, a filmmaker, a poet, photographer, all these different people. And what I found more and more over the years is that there are a lot of people in the church who feel that creative impulse. Mm-hmm. And because of just the nature of the Western church as it is right now, and that's a generalization, but because of how that the church is right now, a lot of times they set those creative impulses off to the side. Because no one is there to mentor them. No one is there to release those creative impulses. No one is there to encourage them. And I know for me personally, while I did have people in my life who were encouraging me, in terms of my church experience, I was not getting that encouragement to the degree that I had the vision for. Hmm. I was a worship leader, like I said, and I was getting encouragement from that. In doing the music thing.
Yeah.
But I was realizing there was so much more inside of me, creatively that God had for me to do. And especially when God starts laying Hollywood on me, and Hollywood is not always understood in the church. So, it really took seeking out people, who I could say, hey, this is what God's telling me. What do you think? And having them say to me, I am behind you all the way. Whatever God tells you to do, do it, even though that might be misunderstood sometimes.
Yeah. So in some ways you found, you know, creative expression in the church to a point, but then once you decided to do this, did you, you know, and again, we've all been in there where even those closest to us may not always understand, our decisions or understand what's motivating us. Did you feel like those closest to you, did you feel like there was pretty much 100% across the board support for you going to Hollywood, or did some, you know, maybe question it at first or you know?
Yeah, well, it helped that I questioned it at first because then if other people did, it was a little easier to go, okay, well, I get where you're coming from. But the more I felt certain that God was saying, I want you to go do this, the more I realized I needed to have the people around me who were going to agree with what God was saying. Not that I couldn't hear other points of view. I needed to be able to hear that. I needed for people to be able to question it and say, are you sure? You know, is this really what you're supposed to be doing? But as I continued on, the more I recognized the certainty of what God's calling was in my life, the more I had to surround myself with people who are going to say, I'm behind you. And I am one of those people who will be praying for you. I'm one of those people who will be sending you. I will be one of those people that will be checking up on you to make sure that you're going down the right path. Mm. All of those things were great. Unfortunately, it wasn't 100%. And that is unfortunate because if there's anything artists need, artists are notoriously insecure. And so what we need are having the pastors and the teachers and the other giftings in the body coming around us and saying, hey, this is what God is doing in your life, and we see it, and it's time you saw it too, and we're behind you. And that, and the more I had that, the more certain I was, it's time to go.
Mm. You know? Do you think in a way, maybe in some ways not getting, because I know that you did get that blessing from a lot of people, but in some of the ways where you didn't, do you feel like that's kind of made you making, you know, kind of making sure that the people that come now into what you're doing now are getting that support, just knowing out there that it can sometimes be the opposite?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's made me very sensitive to the fact that many people, especially those coming from the church, but across the board, are stepping out in a degree of faith that may not be supported by the people that should be supporting them in church, in their schools, wherever they're coming from. And as a result, when they're coming to me in Hollywood and asking for mentoring and asking for help through the organizations that I help run and the mentoring that I do, I'm able to pick up on that, and I'm able to tap into, this is what you're experiencing right now, and let me help you through it. Let's navigate it together. Because some people are supposed to be professional artists. Others are not, and they think they should be. And so my job is to help them navigate through figuring out whether they're that person or not. And but like you said, it's made me very sensitive to the fact that you know, these people need that support. They need that somebody standing behind them to help push them in the right direction.
Excellent. When you first got to Hollywood, did you know that you were going to be starting, for example, the Greenhouse, or how did that come about? And then how did your other?
You know, that's a really good question. I was, when I had initially talked with the Lord about this, and he kind of downloaded this idea of going to Hollywood as an actor and as a minister, I remember at the very end of it, he said something to me that was kind of strange. And he said, you're going to start this thing called the Greenhouse that's going to mentor young artists. And I'm like, that's cool. Okay. I don't know what that means, but let's do it. You know, I'm game. And like I said earlier, before the break, I didn't leave until, you know, 2 or 3 years after that. So in that time, the vision of the Greenhouse was just kind of percolating, you know, sitting there and letting God make it what it was supposed to be.
Wow.
When I moved to LA in 2003, I thought, great, we're here. Let's start this thing called the Greenhouse. And actually, God was like, no, not yet. We're going to have you do some other stuff. Because first of all, you got to learn humility, and you've got to learn how to serve, and you've got to serve the people who are already here in LA. And, you know, now that I've been in LA for a while, I see all these young people that are just on fire for God, which I love, but they come to Hollywood and they're like, God called me to Hollywood and I'm here to take over. And that does not really exhibit the heart of Christ for Hollywood, because God is not about taking over Hollywood. First and foremost, God is there to serve Hollywood. That's the ministry of Christ to people, is to serve. And that's what he wants to do through us. And so for me, God was like, you know, we'll get to this greenhouse thing when it's time. But for now, I want you to just go find out what's already going on. What ministries are happening in Hollywood right now? I want you to volunteer and spend time with them and get to know them, form relationships. And so that was, I thought, okay, well, you're the boss. And so I spent a good 3 years doing that. And so we didn't actually start the greenhouse until June of 2007. So 3.5 years. And at that point, I was, you know, I had pretty much allowed this vision for the greenhouse to kind of sit on the back burner, if not fade altogether, because I didn't know what it was and nothing seemed to be happening.
Was that frustrating for a while?
Frustrating is putting it mildly, because, you know, when God gives you something and you think you're supposed to do it, our human tendencies are that, oh, well, I'm going to do it now. And we're all excited because usually it's something God has given us that he gives us a passion for. And then when it doesn't happen, all of a sudden we're like, well, maybe I heard wrong, you know.
How many artists, I'm sorry, I get that's just really powerful. How many artists or even just Christians in general, they feel like God's told them something and then they step out. And then, like you said, this kind of process of humility and character building happens. And then we just, then you know, almost you, maybe other people, and then maybe sometimes even the enemy's voice comes in to say, you know, you were wrong, it was a mistake, this is not right, and then they just quit.
Oh, I'd say almost 100% of them that God wants to use that way. If you look in the Bible, which I hope you do, you know, if you look in the Bible, there's every single hero of the faith had to go through a desert season, every single one of them. And the ones that embraced that desert season, where it didn't look like anything was happening and life was just going bad, the ones who embraced that went on to just amazing, amazing things. But the people in the Bible who either didn't have a desert season or they didn't embrace the desert season that God had given them, they usually ended up in terrible burnout, failure, total washouts.
Wow.
And so one of the things God had to teach me during that season, where I was in LA but not getting to start greenhouse, was that there is a desert season, and we get a choice on whether we're going to embrace it or not. And that's really important for artists in particular, because artists don't have a lot of patience. We just want to create. We're just there to create. And the beautiful thing is that God allowed me to go ahead and create while I was there. I was an actor. I was writing. I had finished 2 scripts during this seemingly desert season.
You'd had a national commercial. I remember seeing that. A couple of things that I think were national.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did. You know, I was doing commercials. I was doing feature films. I was doing the lowliest of lowly. I was doing extra work, you know, the stuff where you see people sitting in the background having pretend conversations with one another. And nobody goes out to L.A. to be an extra. You know, that's not what we're thinking about. But all of this was refining me and helping me to build relationship with other artists, seeing what their pitfalls were, the things I needed to avoid myself. It was a thing where I had to learn how to embrace that season that wasn't 100% that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, as Shun Lee is talking, if you're out there, and it's almost like how you read people in the Bible, how they hear from God, they have a strong relationship with God, so they even know what God's saying, and then you go ahead and you obey him, and you take a huge risk, risking your whole life, you know. And then when you get to Hollywood, you're listening to God every day. Lord, what do you want me to do? And, you know, usually we give that to that. That's kind of what, you know, ministers do, or missionaries, or, you know, super Christians do. But it's just interesting to hear you talk this way, that really you are, in every way, you're just, God's using you in the same way he'd use a missionary or anyone else to go to any other field in the world.
Yeah, no, it's really important to note that everything we do is ministry. And I know we give lip service to that, but it's really true. And we are all ministers. It is not the guy up in front at the pulpit who is the pastor and the rest of us. Now, wherever we are, whatever marketplace we find ourselves in, we are ministers. I remember having a conversation with a young actress who called me up and just said, you know, I need help. I'm really struggling right now because I came out here to act, and she had the most boring job I've ever heard of in my life, which was She was the secretary of the sign department at Paramount Studios.
Of the sign department?
The sign department, where they make signs. And she had to just help people make signs all day. Fill out the form of the sign that they wanted to make. And she called me out. She's just really frustrated. And in order to get onto a studio lot like Paramount, you have to have what's known as a drive-on pass, which means that somebody there at the lot is helping you get in. They tell the security people, and they put your name on the list, and then you're able to get in there.
Hmm.
And I sat down for lunch with her at what's known as a commissary, which is just their cafeteria. And she just pouring out her heart to me and just saying, I'm not getting to act at all because I'm stuck as a secretary in the sign department. And I remember sitting there and just saying, thinking to myself, boy, how am I going to help this girl? And at the end, I said, you know what? I don't have any acting jobs for you right now. But what I do have is that I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay my hands on you after we're done with this lunch. I'm just going to put my hand on your shoulder. And I'm going to commission you as a pastor of Paramount Studios.
Hmm.
And she looked at me real funny, like, well, do I have to do anything? And I'm like, no, you don't have to do anything, but I'm going to pray this and then we'll see what happens. And so I put my hand on her shoulder and I just said, in the name of Jesus, I commission you as a pastor of Paramount Studios. And she gave me another really weird look and that was it. And I'm like, boy, that didn't go well. And the next day, though, she called me up. She's like, Shun Lee, I'm a pastor of Paramount Studios. And she got it, you know, and it changed everything about not only why she was doing what she's doing, but what it meant to be an artist. That it's a ministry that we have to our culture around us, to the people that we interact with in the creative process, to our churches, to the globe, as we, especially in Hollywood, as we're sending the arts, music, and film, and television all around the world. If we view it as ministers, that changes everything we do.
Mm, that's awesome. You know, I think one problem that I've come across, and I know you've mentioned this many times before, is in the history of how the church has perceived the value of the arts, you know, Hollywood, movies. I mean, if we go back to the 1930s, 20s, there was many, many preachers out there, you know, condemning the arts, condemning movies, condemning going into a theater, condemning the whole thing. So, you know, it's hard, I think, when we come to the present time, we've kind of inherited a perceived view of, you know, a lack of value of the arts, and almost like it was the enemy's place. You know, this is the devil's place. We're just going to let him have his field, let him have the arts, let him have entertainment, because it's something that Jesus doesn't want us to be involved with. And I don't think we're totally out of the woods on that one yet. I feel like still every once in a while you get the sense that the church really is still trying to figure it out. I mean, it's very exciting what's going on, but maybe you can just share a little more about that and maybe some good news that you see on the forefront.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I remember a few years ago when I was just starting up the greenhouse and like I said, the greenhouse has been going on for almost 10 years now. I remember just on a whim doing a Google search, and I put in Hollywood and God. I just put in those two words. And what came back in the search results, the very first one was a web page of a pastor. I think he was in Kansas City or someplace. And he, nothing wrong with Kansas City. This could have come from anywhere. But he asked the people who are reading this page to join him in a prayer asking God for the physical destruction of Hollywood. Basically fire and brimstone and all that stuff. And I remember sitting there reading it with wide eyes and thinking, wait a minute, that's me, you know, that's me.
Oh man.
And my brothers and sisters in Christ are calling for my physical destruction. This is not good, you know? And so it just showed a misunderstanding of what God is doing in Hollywood. And I'm just here to tell you that God is doing amazing things in Hollywood. And the fact is that most of the people in Hollywood are not evil, you know, they're not out to do evil things just for evil's sake, like a James Bond villain. They actually care about doing the right thing. They're trying to make a living and they're trying to pay the bills. And some may know God and some may not. Some are hungrier for God than others. But at the end of the day, God is always doing something new. I think of, it's Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21, where God says, "Behold, I'm doing something new. Don't you see it?" And it says, "I'm making a way in the desert," which is his way of saying, "I'm going places that other people don't go." And he talks about the jackals and the owls, how they'll praise him. Well, jackals and owls in the Old Testament were unclean animals. So God loves to go places that we, in our ignorance, think he doesn't like to go. And he loves to do things. And what we've come to find is there are many thousands of Christians now in Hollywood, people who are spiritually hungry, whether they're Christians or not. They're there and they want to find out what it means to know God. And the only way that's going to happen is when us Christians are going there as artists and actually doing the art with them. It's not going to be good enough for us to go in and preach at them because they're not going to listen. But if we go in there and we are artists with them, and through our lifestyle and our love and service and humility and even sometimes just speaking the truth to them, we have begun to see just amazing things. God is doing some just fantastic things, so that we see thousands of Christians now. I've heard different numbers from different people. So without knowing precisely which, I won't quote them here, but literally thousands of people are there as Christians doing the work of the kingdom.
Well, and we really haven't got to too much of the book in this first part of a two-part series that you're listening to. This is going to be kind of our concluding section here in part one, but it's been a great introduction to, you know, really the reason that Shun Li wrote this book. So anyways, I hope you've enjoyed just kind of hearing about Shun Li's journey and his story and why he went out to Hollywood in the first place. And so I've just been kind of fascinated as we've been talking, Shun Li, that, you know, you've taken so many great steps and you've got people there with you. You've built up, I guess you'd say, a following, people that are really, you know, like you've said, you're kind of their pastor in a sense, but you're also a mentor to them as artists. I just want to just touch on a little more, and then we'll be done with today's segment. But, you know, what exactly are you doing in the greenhouse? And then what do you think is your goal outside of the greenhouse?
Yeah, that's a good question. Both of those are good questions. And maybe we can talk about the greenhouse a little bit more in the next section when we get together.
Sure.
But the greenhouse is really a place, a community, where we are helping to mentor and steward creative artists, help them collaborate with one another, help them learn how to serve other artists, how to serve the LA community, how to serve the larger creative community across the United States and around the world, because we have them coming from all over the world to the greenhouse. We have all sorts of programs that we do, and people can check those out at www.greenhouseproductions.com. Which talks about so many of the different programs that we have available. And, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next section. But we have seen now about 7,000 people come through the greenhouse.
Wow.
Of all different sorts of creative disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
Actors and writers and producers and musicians and poets and photographers. And what we're doing is we're bringing them together and say, let's collaborate together. Let's begin to create projects together. And sometimes those projects work and sometimes they don't. But the thing we've created is this environment where creativity is valued because it is part of the human experience, where we allow them to fail. We allow them to try things. We allow them to wrestle with ideas. We talk about the theology of beauty and truth and how that enters into our creative works as well. As for me personally, I have to put those things into practice. I have to do that with the stuff that I write, with the acting that I do, with the mentoring that I do, all these different things. I have to be modeling that so that I'm learning it, but also that other people can see that it actually works. When you live this way as a creative person, when you practice your craft this way, it actually takes you farther, faster. Maybe not in the way you anticipated, but it will actually take you much farther than if you had done it on your own. And so I put that into practice. I have my team put that into practice. We're all working on this together as a community and an environment that values that kind of creative process.
Wow, how exciting. I want to ask more about that. It's just amazing to see, you know, the fulfillment, I'm sure, of a dream and things that you, I'm sure, it's hard to kind of put into your mind's eye what something might look like that God gives you a vision for. But this is just, of course, an incredible, exciting, you know, fruition of what you'd prayed for and hoped for. But before we go, I want to just make sure we don't miss an opportunity here. You've written this book, The Saints and the Poets. Give us a 30-second, you know, what is this book about?
Oh, that's a great question. I wrote this book over the 13 years that I've been in L.A. They were taken from my own journal. Some of them were prayer letters that I had written back home to supporters, wondering what was going on and the things that I was wrestling with. Some of these were articles that I've written for The Greenhouse and some of its programs about what does it mean to be a creative person of faith. What does that look like? I know what the church says it looks like. I know what the world says it looks like. What does it really mean in its practice? And this is 52 different essays on the creative process from a perspective of faith. And it's not just for creative artists. It's for creative people in general. Anybody who has that inclination towards creativity, as well as people who are related to creative people or who have to lead creative people or just have to be in the same church building with them. all of those things are addressed in this book, and I hope that people will get a lot out of that and we'll all be able to grow together.
Fantastic. Well, once again, the book is called The Saints and the Poets, written by author Shen-Li Fong. You can buy the book on Amazon.com. Once again, thanks so much for being on the show, Shen-Li. We're really happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And we are going to have a part two. This is part one of a part two series. So make sure to go to our next podcast and pick up part two. We're going to go into the next step, kind of where do you go from here? And just hear more of what Shen-Li's doing with the different roles that he's there in Hollywood and what he sees God doing in the church in ways that maybe Christians in the church, we can, quote, take Hollywood or take over Hollywood or be involved in Hollywood. So we're going to hear about those things in part two. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.